Number 467. We're thinking this morning about walking with the Lord. 467, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. We'll sing 1, 3, and 5 of 467. When we walk Who are these beside the chilly wave, just on the borders of the silent grave? We'll sing again 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
604. We're going home to glory soon to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. First and the last verse, 604. Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. 497, we'll sing the first and the last.
Singing very well. I believe that all the good singers are in the meeting tonight, so we're going to have really good singing, and we've a great hymn to commence with. It's the number 211. The hymn number 211, there is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. It fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old, yet ever new. On the page 261, the number 211. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Let us bow together before the Lord. Together we will seek the Lord's face and look to Him for the work of His Spirit, for the blessing of God upon our coming together, that it might be with the eternal prophet that we gather in the house of the Lord. Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, in the ever peerless and ever worthy name of our Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow in thy most holy presence. We do come before thee to return thanks for thy love toward us in Christ. It truly is a wondrous love. It is so vast, so great. Lord, we can only say herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. We know that such was the enormity and the guilt and the ruin that sin had wrought in us, that we were beyond any human means of recovery. We know that we could do nothing to save ourselves. There was nothing in us by which we could commend ourselves to Thee. From the head to the sole of the foot, there was no soundness in us, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But how we praise Thee tonight for the One who has risen with healing in His wings. Lord, Thou hast made us, spiritually speaking, every whit whole. We praise Thee for the grace given to so many of us to touch the hem of Thy garment. Virtue, power has gone from Thee to make us righteous in Thy sight. We thank Thee for the imputed righteousness of Christ. We praise Thee for all that Jesus Christ wrought for us on the center cross. Thou didst give Thyself a sacrifice and an offering to God as a sweet-smelling savor. And we pray afresh that Thou wilt help us to understand it. Help us to take it in, what it meant for Thee, the Holy One, to bear away our sins. We know that our sins have been borne away as far as the east is from the west. Though the accuser roar of ills that I have done, I know them all and thousands more, but Jehovah findeth none. O Lord, through Thine atoning work, through the shedding of Thine own precious blood, Thou hast made an end of our sins and brought into our account everlasting righteousness. And, O God, Thou hast commissioned us to proclaim this story. It is old, yet ever new. And we pray that the story of the gospel will come with freshness. It will come with authority, with power from heaven. And we pray that tonight the arrows from the gospel quiver will smite the heart and the conscience and bring others lost and perishing and undone, bring them to an end of themselves, bring them to the place where they will repent with all of their hearts, break off with their sin, and cry Lord, save me, I perish. Of all that the world doth boast, I have learned to count but loss. And the sight that charms me most is a sinner at the cross. We pray that this night there will be a drawing power, and others will come as they are, and come with all of their hearts, with all their iniquity, and wash and be made clean in the blood of the Lamb. We know that when David was in the cave of Adullam, those who were in debt, those who were distressed, those who were discontented, they came to him. They found refuge with him, and he became a captain over them. Oh, we pray that men and women and young people will come to the greater David, the one who is our all in all, the one who by his saving grace can meet our great spiritual destitution. O Lord, breathe upon us in this meeting. Pour out of thy Spirit, we pray. And Lord, may this be a night of adding to thy church of such as should be saved. We thank thee for the witness and testimony maintained here through all of these years. And we do acknowledge that it is by thy grace that this congregation has reached this significant milestone. And we pray, Lord, that the best will yet to be. O God, lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. We pray for this locality. We do pray for our province. We acknowledge that we have fallen by our iniquities. We know that there is not the knowledge of thee among the people in the land. And, O God, we would pray reverently, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, as in the ancient days, as in the generations of old. O Lord, do a new thing in this land. What wilt thou not do for thine own name's sake? O Lord, show us mercy and grant us thy salvation in the land. Give us a token tonight for good. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll further sing the hymn number 221. The hymn 221 on page 265. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. 221, please. Let's stand again as we sing.
Trust me.
Once again, we say how delighted we are to be with you here in the Kingdom of Mourne this Lord's Day. It's my great privilege to be in this pulpit and to have the opportunity of bringing God's Word. And we rejoice with you in this special year in your history. And it is the story of God's mercy and goodness to you as a people. And we rejoice in all that has been accomplished through the years. As Mr. Campbell said, I have retired from the active pastorate. And one of my colleagues said, when you have a reputation for rising early in the morning, then you can lie in bed to dinner time and no one will take any notice. But we do not lie in bed to dinner time. We make an effort to be out of bed and up and about. And as has been said, there's plenty to do in the Lord's work, and we're grateful for those opportunities. And we're grateful for the hospitality and kindness shown to us today as we have visited here. Now, the offering hymn is the number 254. The hymn number 254, Give me thy heart, says the Father above, no gift so precious to him as our love. Softly he whispers, wherever thou art, gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. 254. Give me thy heart, says the Father above. No gift so precious to him as our love. May he wish forever thou art. Gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. The final verse. We'll read the Word of God together in Jeremiah chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 5, please, and verse 1. These words came to the prophet, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased." We'll end our reading here at verse 6, and may God be pleased to stamp with His own seal of blessing the public reading of His Word. As we have the Word of God open in our hands, we will seek the Lord together for His grace and wisdom. Our gracious God, we do thank Thee this evening for Thy Word. It is truth. It is the gospel truth that God was in Christ at the cross, reconciling the world unto Himself. We do praise Thee that to us is this word of salvation sent, and we pray that there will be a reception of the gospel, a receiving by repentance and faith so great salvation. We pray that not one will neglect it, but each one will turn and seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon his name while he is near. So, Lord, give to us thy nearer presence. Pour out of thy Spirit, especially as we come to the word of the living God. Oh, we pray that this word that makes wise unto salvation will run and have free course. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 5, and in the last words of the third verse, it is said of the people of Jerusalem, they have refused to return. They have refused to return. One day a cynic was discovered in the city of Athens. He was searching the streets with a lantern, though it was broad daylight. When asked why he was searching the streets with a lantern in broad daylight, he said he needed all the light that he could possibly get in order to find an honest man. Jeremiah, the prophet of the Lord, he was sent on a similar search. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. The word came to the prophet, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." Jeremiah was in the search for a man. God was prepared to spare Jerusalem on lower terms than Sodom if one righteous man had been found in it. It would not have fallen to the Chaldeans. The reality is that all flesh had corrupted its way. Not only that, the people of Jerusalem were set in their ungodly ways. As a consequence, the prophet wept over them. He warned them of the issues of their sins, called on them to turn from their wicked ways, but they would not be turned. They went on in their godlessness as the horse stampedes into the battle. They continued adding sin to sin. Jeremiah was left to lament, "They have refused to return." Perhaps their action is a mirror image of your response to the gospel. To this point in time, you have refused to turn. For many a day, you have had the privilege of being under the sound of the good news. The way of peace has been plainly stated. The blessings that flow from turning to the Lord, you have been made aware of them. You have been reasoned with, warned, persuaded to turn in the knowledge that the Lord will have mercy upon you, but you have persisted in refusing to turn. It is one thing transgressing God's law. It is yet another thing refusing to repent and to turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, this is the top stone. This is the enormity of your sin, your refusal to turn. May it be to your eternal profit that we examine this text this evening. First of all, we will consider who it implicates. This text implicates multitudes. It refers to those who openly state that they refuse to return. There are many in the world tonight, like Pharaoh, openly defiant in not giving the reins of their lives to God. With him, they ask, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord." Pharaoh, prided himself in the fact that he did not know the Lord. He was content and settled in that it was so. And some have no thought of God. They neither care for him, esteem him, fear him, not to speak of turning to him. They sneer and mock and scoff about the things that are of God. I trust that you're not among their number. For the Bible says in Isaiah 29 and verse 20, the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. This text implicates others who speak loosely about returning. They're like the son who said to his father when asked to go and work in his vineyard, responded, "I go." But he went not. And maybe you have given the pledge to return, the promise to a friend, "I'll get right with God." You have said to the one who has witnessed to you, as Felix said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." The convenient season has not arrived. You have no more resolve, no more purpose of heart in getting the matter of your soul's salvation settled than you had 10 years ago. You have spoken fair words, but they have proved to be hollow. In reality, you have refused turn. It implicates those who acknowledge freely that they have not returned, but they have substituted other things. Maybe you have substituted religion, and you attend faithfully this house of worship, and maybe you say your prayers daily and read the word of the Lord daily, and you do good in society, generous and benevolent you are. And so was the Pharisee who prayed in the temple. Not only that, he gave alms to the poor, but listen, he never had the standing of a just one before God. Oh yes, a religious person, but not a just man in God's all-seeing eye. And there is no substitute for not turning to the Lord. Nothing will please God except turning from sin and trusting His only begotten Son, depending alone on the sacrifice of Christ's cross. One of the things that is an abomination unto the Lord is the sacrifice of the wicked. And such was Cain's offering. It was all the product of his own hand. There was nothing spiritual about it, and God had no regard for it. Cain had a profession of religion, but all the while he refused to turn to God through the blood of the Lamb. And whatever you may depend on and put in the place of returning to the Lord in penitence and faith, it will not work. It will still be true of you. You refused to turn. The text implicates you who have turned to God just on the surface of your life, but not with your whole heart. You see, it's possible to travel far towards the kingdom of God and still never enter. There may be someone in this service tonight, and you're not far from the kingdom of God, but you have not entered in. Consider Judas, a disciple. And on that account, he endured persecution, reproach. He wrought miracles, he preached. But the Bible says of him, better that he had never been born. For he had only turned to God on the surface of his life and not with his whole heart. Oh, what multitudes are implicated here. Are you? Have you refused to turn? Furthermore, let us consider what the text implies. Your refusal to turn implies a number of things. An absence of love for God. We think of how it was with the prodigal in the far country. He came to the point where he thought about his father, and he thought about his father's house, and it wasn't long until he said, I will arise and go to my father. Love for the father rekindled resulted in the turning point. He turned around and headed for the Father's house. Oh, you have no love in your heart for God. Therefore, the call to return falls on deaf ears. You love your sin. You roll it as a sweet morsel under your tongue. As the scriptures say, ye cannot serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other. In your refusal to turn to the Lord, there is the rejection of his love. You close your heart, the seat of your affection, against him. This warning is sounded out in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. Listen to it carefully. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. The scene, the setting is the Lord's coming, His second return. And if there is not the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, the verse says, when the Lord returns, the curse of heaven will be on you. You will hear the words, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Refusal to return implies atheism, a spirit of unbelief. You say in your heart, sin will not result in the reaping of an eternal harvest of woe and spiritual death for me. Though the Bible clearly says that those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, you do not accept that that will be the case. You imagine that somehow you will find acceptance at the last, and so you harden your heart and you refuse to turn. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, God's word says the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Refusing to return implies that you judge spiritual things to be of little consequence. You really care for none of these things. The Bible refers to the glorious gospel. But you glory in many other things. You glory in your employment, in your business, in your leisure pursuits, your home, your car, your family. You can see no glory in the cross. You pass by that one true offering made for sin forever, and it is nothing to you. You're absorbed with the present, with the fleeting moments of this life, and you treat lightly the things that really matter. What a fool you are, refusing to return to God in contrition and sorrow of heart over your sin. Thirdly, we want to look at the way the sin of not returning is increased. It is increased when correction is spurned. Notice carefully here in Jeremiah 5 and verse 3, where we read, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. The Lord used many rods of correction, but this people would not be moved. Their faces, we are told, became harder than a rock. Absalom, he set the field, the barley field of Joab, on fire for this purpose, that he might draw him to come and meet with him. And so the Lord uses many correcting rods to bring us to himself. That accident that you were involved in, your brush with death was designed to have a sobering effect on your heart, on your way of thinking. The time of sickness took you away from the busy round of work and gave you time to think. It demonstrated to you just how frail and brittle the thread of life is. It taught you that the pegs of this life may be pulled up in a moment. Death came to your home, and you were made to face up to its presence, its reality. And the thought indeed crossed your mind, what if it were I? All of these things were correcting rods to bring you to the Lord. But to this point in time, you have spurned them. Sin of not returning is increased when conscience is silenced. As the gospel has been preached through the years, there have been many times when your conscience has been smitten, as was the conscience of the jailer. And like him, you knew that you have a soul to be saved. You saw that you were in danger of hell without Christ. But in refusing to return, you have sought to silence the voice of conscience. Though you knew what you ought to do, and yet you remained hardened in heart. We read in Luke chapter 12 about a servant who refused to do the will of his master. Luke chapter 12 and the verse 47. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Judgment awaited such a one. In hell, what is the worm that never dies if it is not the gnawing of conscience? This sin of not turning is increased because you continue as you are. For years, you have gone on. The command of the gospel is clear. It is come now. The scriptures make it clear that now is the accepted time. But you always say tomorrow will be time enough. And so you have continually refused to turn. What you are doing is heaping up wrath against the day of wrath. How much greater the millstone of your condemnation is becoming by your continual refusal to be saved. And lastly, we think of what influences you to refuse to return. Is it that you are senseless to these spiritual things? That was the best face that Jeremiah could put on the refusal of the people of Jerusalem to return. Notice in verse 4, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. They had no comprehension of these things. They were senseless. There is none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. And we think of how at the cross at Calvary, where the great plan of redemption was being perfected, there were those who were senseless. For the Lord prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, you know not what you do in your rejection of the Savior of this world. He is the only one who can abundantly pardon. He is the one who can bless you in turning you away from your iniquities. It is eternal life to know Him, and all who receive Him become children of God. They pass from the place of being condemned already to the place where there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, that you would be brought to your senses, and that you would truly turn with your whole heart to Christ. Maybe you're influenced by self-esteem in your refusal to turn. You reckon you're good enough. You set up your own righteousness in the place of Christ's righteousness. You depend on your works as opposed to depending on Christ's all-atoning work. What a fool you are. thinking that what you can do can equal what God has done to save a world of sinners. The filthy rags of your righteousness will never match the spotless robe of the Savior's righteousness. Paul said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You will not be saved by your own means, only through Christ alone. Is it your striving after temporal joys that influences you not to turn? Tonight, heaven seems distant. It's away, eternity is away in the future. There's much to live for, you reckon, much to savor in this world. Let me have my fling. Let me eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That is your reasoning. Do not be deluded. What if in the midst of your revelry, what if the finger of God was to number your days and you were to be weighed in the balances of divine reckoning and justice? And to be found wanting, what then? What pleasure will you have then? You would have sold your soul for naught. Oh, the path of life. It starts at the cross. The Lord gives us richly all things to enjoy. Happy is that man, that woman whose God is the Lord. Solid joys and lasting pleasures none but Zion's children know. Do not mimic the people that Jeremiah preached to here in Jerusalem. Turn. Trust in Jesus Christ. And then, like the Ethiopian, you too will go on your way rejoicing. A sinner saved by grace. The account settled between your never-dying soul and God. And able to say, on the authority of the gospel truth, it is well. It is well with my soul. May you tonight come just as you are, willing not to rid your soul of one dark blot, to the Lamb of God whose blood can cleanse each spot. May you come. Come and welcome to the Savior. Let us bow together, please, in prayer. And as we're bowed in the presence of the Lord, anxious soul, we are concerned for you. We are concerned that you choose life and not death, that you flee to the arms of the Savior. They are outstretched to you tonight. Oh, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do then with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? What you do with Christ will determine what he will do with you on that great judgment day. Be wise. Flee to the Savior. He has promised, him that cometh unto me,
I will in no wise cast out. Do speak to the friend that you're with in the service. Speak to the elders of the congregation. Speak with myself. Do not go away from this preaching house as you came on the broad way, turning aside from the path of life. Oh, with all your heart, come to the Savior. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for devising the way whereby we banished sons of Adam's fallen race may not be forever expelled from Thy holy, sacred, and divine presence. How we thank Thee that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open, and sinners may go in. At Calvary's cross is where we begin. Oh, we pray that with the bands of a man and the cords of love, precious souls will be drawn irresistibly to Jesus Christ, and all the glory will be Thine. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is the number 250. The hymn number 250, please. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. 250.
We pray that it will not be said of anyone, as was said of some in Thy word, when the Lord Jesus said of them, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Oh, we pray that none will be senseless, none will harden their heart, but each lost soul will come to the seeking Savior. Part us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing,
We ask it in Jesus' name.